I'm so lucky tonight because it's Annie. Oh, thank you. Because it's Annie here and not her older brother. Annie doesn't embarrass easily. her older brother, oldest brother, however, he's one of those guys that slouches his jeans just enough to be cool, but not to, so that the first thing a girl sees is his boxers. You know, the kind of guy that wants people, especially hot girls, to think that he was raised by wild wolves. So what I'm going to be talking about tonight is the things that we want really badly, the dreams that we have for our lives. I wanted to share the things I write about. I write about people your age, and I just write about wants and dreams. So I wanted to read the back covers so you can get a feeling for where I'm at, where I'm coming from. Okay, this book is The Art of My Life, and this is the back cover. Cal walked out of jail and into a second chance at winning Alley with his grandma's beater sailboat and a reclaimed dream of sailing charters. Alley has the business smarts, strings to a startup loan, and heart he never should have broken. He's got squat. Unless you count enough original art for a monster rummage sale and an affection for weed. But he'd only ever loved Alley, and that had to count for something. Alley needed a guy who owned yard tools, tires worth rotating, and a voter's registration card. He'd be that guy, or die trying. For anyone who's ever struggled to measure up and failed. None of you can relate to that, I'm sure. We'll go on to the next book. Next book is Abra's God. In the tradition of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, some of you girls will remember that, four friends navigate college and the drama churned up by their Florida beach band to cement friendship and more. Avril wants love, but Cisco, self-medicating from his parents' divorce with sex and intoxicants, is a poor choice. Cisco hungers for fresh-baked cookies and the scent of family he finds at Avril's. Callie shares her classically trained voice with lead vocalist Jesse and fights to keep her heart safe. Jesse feeds on fame and hides more than insecurity beneath his guitar. The friends surf ego, betrayal, and ambition and head for wipeout, but somehow, when they're not looking, Abra's God changes them all. Kicking Eternity, since you guys are starving college students, well, I don't know, I've been to Convo, I don't think you're exactly starving, but impoverished college students, you may get a free copy of Kicking Eternity, an e-copy over at the queue afterwards, or just flag Annie down anytime and she'll hook you up. So this one is Church Camp, kind of talking about Gull Lake. Stuck in sleepy New Smyrna Beach, that's Florida, one last summer, Rain socks away her camp paychecks, worries about her druggy brother, and ignores trouble, Cal Coomer. She's a plane ticket away from teaching orphans in Africa, and not even Cal's surfer six-pack and the chinks she spies in his rebel armor will derail her. The artist in Cal begs to paint Rain's ivory skin, high cheekbones, and internal sparklers behind her eyes, but falling for her would caterwaul him into his parents' life. No thanks. The girl was self-righteous, waiting to happen. Mom served sanctimony like vegetables, three servings a day, and he had a gutful. Rec director Drew taunts her with Rainy and calls her an enabler. He's so infernally there like a horsefly till he buzzes back to his ex. Rain's brother tweaks. Her dream of Africa dies small deaths. Will she figure out what to fight for and what to free before it's too late? Free book. So life is all about the things that we want, the things that we dream of. And Annie read the scripture about Joseph's dreams. And even though I got the guy, married the guy after AU a gazillion years ago, and I still have things that I want, I bet, as desperately as you want the things that you want. I want to be a New York Times bestseller. I want to sell a million books. I don't want much. And what my mom used to say to me is, how's it feel to want? Did you ever get that? Well, I'll tell you how it feels. It feels like a raging river splashing over the banks. What are you going to do with all those crazy wants inside of you? Maybe you feel like Annie. Last year, she was debating about whether she should go on a missions trip to Belize or to Panama. And really, the Panama one sounded like all about suffering. The Belize one sounded a little better, and so God must want her to do the suffering one. Whatever. God wants you to do the one that's no fun, okay? That's what she's thinking. So I heard her say this, and it was one of those mom moments where I, you know, hit myself in the forehead, and I was like, oh, I know right where that came from. You want your kids to catch all the good stuff, you know, from you, not the bad stuff. So the question is it wrong to want? You know, Joseph's dreams were even more far-fetched than mine. He was 17 years old, and he dreamed, in his word, dreams at night, but I think they came from God. So he dreamed that all his siblings would bow down to him. So do you think he wanted these dreams to come true? Well, he was number 12 of 13. Oh, yeah, he wanted these dreams to come true. So I think that Joseph's dreams sustained him through the hard years. He had some hard things he had to go through. After he had these dreams, his dad reamed him out, and his brothers were, like, highly pissed off. In fact, they threw him into a well, and he would have died if he hadn't been taken out and sold into slavery. So he had some really hard years, but those dreams that God had given him sustained him and made him, I think, maybe a little pushy in a good way. That he was always working hard, trying to get ahead, trying to be the best slave he could. And he worked his way up till he was a slave in the household of one of the highest people in Egypt. So I think it made him disciplined. I think it made him committed to God because he had these dreams. And it made him avoid traps. Now, this guy that he worked for, his wife ran after him, ripped off his clothes, and let me just tell you, it wasn't the boxers she was after. So, for me, my dreams have been, I graduated in 1980, thank you for coughing, maybe nobody heard that year, with Dan Lawson, who I think is here, but I graduated from AU, and I had a creative writing degree, and I promptly got married and have four kids, and raised them, and I finally wrote my first novel when Annie was in kindergarten. So my dreams really sustained me through a lot of years. And then I wrote that book 37 times. And I'm still writing. Actually, that book comes out March 1st. So thank God I'll be done with it. But, you know, it takes a lot of stick-to-itiveness to write 360 pages of gut-wrenching prose inhabited by the Holy Spirit. It takes a big dream for that, and I know that you guys have got that big of dreams inside you, too. Now, God rescued Joseph and his dreams. He rescued him out of the pit that his brothers threw him into, the old well or whatever it was. He rescued him out of a dead-end job, slave, can't get much more dead-end than that. Then he got thrown in prison after the little episode with the wife, and so he was in there for quite some time. God rescued him out of that. And so God is in the business of rescuing your dreams, too. And at times, they're going to look like they're derailed. But if those dreams are put in you by God, he's going to rescue them. For me, when I was a kid, I lived on a sailboat. And it sounds like, oh, totally cool existence. I used to come home from school, ride my bike in the dock. You know, you'd be like shaking your teeth out of your head, riding your bike down the dock. I get back onto our sailboat, and I put my bathing suit on, jump overboard, swim to the island. Rough life, right? Rough life. But, yeah, you wouldn't think I needed a rescue. But you'll probably relate to this. Sometimes the outside of your life looks really good, but the inside's not so hot. I had a toxic relationship with my dad, and my parents' marriage was in meltdown. At the end of our boat years, my mom said, too much togetherness, and that was the end of the marriage. So God rescued me from a lot of dysfunction in my childhood, and he rescued me from my sins. I think about when I was 19 years old, I was a freshman, and all my first semester of my freshman year, I kept hearing about, I kept going to a group like this and hearing about how God would help me, you know, if I would turn over my studies to him. I'm like, huh, who knew he was interested in my studies? Turn them over, great, go ahead. And, you know, so the whole semester, turn over your dating life. Huh, well, nothing was happening there. Go ahead, you can have that. So I think by the end of the semester, I kind of, you know, did the whole deal. And I remember sitting in my room at home and just saying, okay, God, is there anything left? You can have it. And I really, you know, I'm not too impressed with the life I've had so far, and I really don't have a lot to lose. So, okay, here it is. So he rescued me from my sins. At that point, coolest thing about being a Christian is that clean, that we are clean. I love that. And then the other thing that he rescued is my voice. When I was a kid, I didn't have a voice. Nobody ever wanted to listen to me. I was like too much and whatever. So now I'm talking in public. I can't believe it. And in my books, people always say that my voice is the thing that stands out. So God rescued my voice. He rescued my dreams. And I got the life that I was supposed to have when he designed me. And you too have got this life that God designed you for, and he's going to rescue your dreams too. And when I connected with God, he adopted me into his family. And so now I've got this dad that wasn't like, you know, A-plus material in life, you know, but then I've got this, and that was a temporary dad, but then I've got this forever daddy that is really cool and awesome and perfect. So when he adopted me, I got this cool dad, but also he put his DNA in me so that I want the things that he wants. So when you feel these wants in you that are so powerful, you need to think about, did God put that want in me? Because I think it very well may be true that he did. I have someone that's really close to me, and he thinks that if he gives up control of his life to God, that he will get a sucky life back. I disagree. As I told you before, I got the guy, I got four great kids, I got to write books, I get to talk to people. I don't think that God gave me a sucky life. Sure, there's been some suffering, there's been some hard things, but I think that here's an example. I'm going to use Annie again since I can pick on her. Annie has the summer between first grade and second grade, she went to church camp, and she came and told me, Mommy, that was when I used to be Mommy, and she said, I think God wants me to be a missionary, and I don't want to be a missionary. So I said, Annie, if God wants you to be a missionary, he's going to give you the want to. And so it happened that as Annie grew, she kept wanting to be a missionary. In fact, in junior high, she wrote a paper about how she wanted to be a missionary. I was like, oh, wow, I guess it's, you know, the want's still there. So, but Annie doesn't think that being a missionary is like a really bad thing. She thinks it's really awesome. She thinks that it's going to be fun and it's going to be an adventure, and she doesn't really feel like this is this big sacrifice that she has to do. She thinks it's a cool thing. So the hard things that God asks us to do, he also gives us the want to do them. So you don't have to be afraid that he's going to give, that if you give up control of your life to him, that he's going to give you a whole bunch of things that you really don't want to do, like some prof, you know, that gives you all these assignments that you would never, ever choose to do. Okay? It gives you assignments you want to do. Joseph was created to rule. God gave him the dreams. God made them come true. I was created to write. The passion to live out one's purpose cannot be sin. Without it, none of us would step into our destinies. My books would never get out there. So grab onto that passion. Hold on to it. It's not a bad thing. But now Joseph submitted to the king of Egypt, and he always would obey him and do what he said to do. And I need to, and you need to, submit to the king also, to submit to God. And the reason is because he will harness that hunger inside you, and he will channel it where he wants it to go, where he designed it to go. And I think that we need to stop seeing God as that awful prof that gives us all those tasks that we don't want to do, and see him as our daddy who loves us. We're not orphans. We're not slaves. We're his kids. Girls, I want you to picture yourself when you were a little girl in a tutu, leaping and twirling and giggling and basking in your daddy's delight. Guys, think of yourself when you were a kid. You're off on some great adventure, your slingshot in your back pocket, finding bugs, new vistas, carving new trails under the thumbs up from your dad. His expression says, "My kid is the coolest, bravest, most heroic kid. I'm so proud of him." Okay, bring yourself up to today. Picture yourself doing a difficult task, but one that you really want to do, but it's hard for you to do. Think of you doing that with God's thumbs up. Come on, let's do it. We can do this together. Picture yourself when you're screwing up, okay? And maybe it's something you've done 100,000 times and you feel really miserable about it. Picture God as your daddy, and he reaches his hands down and he picks you up. He says, "Come on, everybody falls down sometime. We'll walk together." Picture walking into your dream, the dream that God put into your heart when he created you. I'd like you to just make a mental note and think about February 21st, 2013, as the day that you took that first step into your dream. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I pray that each one of us would step into our dreams, the dreams that you planted inside our bodies and inside our minds and our souls, and that we would live the life you created us to live. And I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.